So the reading is from Matthew chapter 15. It's on your service sheets. It's on the screen behind me. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment.
Do have a seat. Well, I wondered if you could spot who was different. Who was the different person in that story? Do you want to put a hand up if you think you know who was the different person? Toby, you're keen today. No, don't ask him. Jack, did you think you knew who the different person was? The woman. You're absolutely right. It was the woman, wasn't it? Now, I've got a picture here of someone who was different, I hope. Yes, I have got a picture here of someone who was different. I guess many of you went, well, does anybody know who this is or was? Ed? George Floyd. George Floyd was a black American, and he was arrested in the USA by a white police officer. And he died as a result of the actions of that police officer. It sparked huge protests all over the states, and indeed there were protests here. Racially motivated protests of black people, against black people by white people. And we heard about Black Lives Matter, and we thought about racism in our own country. Racism is that prejudice, that discrimination based on the color of our skin. And prejudice exists in many forms. The Me Too movement, for example, that's arisen out of sexual abuse and sexual harassment of women by powerful men. There's prejudice around religious belief, persecution of Christians by Muslims in the Middle East, persecution of Muslims by Hindus in India. And that persecution flows out of prejudice. They see people as other, as different, and they're threatened by that. Issues of our time that we may well have been on the end of. The prejudices of others because of race or sex or colour. And indeed, there are many other prejudices. Equally, we have our own prejudices, don't we? We're often blind to them. Well, you may have thought, as you heard this account of Jesus, that there's prejudice going on here. If you look at the story, Jesus has a silent response to the woman. She's in great need. Is he being sexist? Is he being racist because she's a foreigner and he's calling her a dog? It all looks pretty ugly, as does any prejudice. But is this the case? Is the kingdom of God somewhere that we would expect to find prejudice? Well, we'll look more closely, we might be surprised. We're going to see two things, that Jesus is Lord of all and Jesus has come for all. Jesus is Lord of all and Jesus has come for all. Geography is really important. Taking note of where we are in Jesus' ministry is really significant. It helps us make sense of what's going on. And so we read this. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And we should get a map that will indicate where we are. It's just taking time to work through the system at the moment. Here we go. So Matthew is signaling that Jesus has left the Sea of Galilee here, the area of his ministry, and he's gone out of that to Tyre and to Sidon. They're on the coast. Tyre is modern-day Lebanon. And what's significant is that he's gone out of Jewish territory and gone into what is called Gentile, in other words, non-Jew territory. The people who lived there were Canaanites. They were the historic enemies of Israel, a different land, a different religion. And Jesus meets a local Canaanite woman, evidently someone who knows something about Jesus. She calls him Lord. She knows something of his background. She calls him Son of David. Does she recognize that Jesus is that long-promised King of Israel? And she comes to him in great need, desperate for help. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. She doesn't stop there. She keeps crying out. She kneels before Jesus. Lord, help me. All the signs indicate that she sees Jesus as Lord. Kneeling is that sign of worship, of surrender. And she brings nothing except her desperate need, maybe hoping that Jesus can rescue, can save her daughter from this terrible suffering. And she's not put off by Jesus' silence to her request. She's not put off by Jesus saying he's not concerned for those outside of Israel. She's not put off by Jesus' put down saying that she is a dog and that she can have the dog's rations. She is amazingly persistent, and this is her reward. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And we read her daughter was healed at that moment. I think there may be a screen on this. Thank you. So this is, you've got a sense of expectation here as we get with the technology, which something comes up and it'll come up on the screen a couple of seconds later. You see, she's right. He is Lord. He is Lord over the demons. Astonishing power and authority. Those of you who like Harry Potter, there's no incantations, there's no spells, there's no exorcism. What is staggering here is there's not even a prayer of Jesus with a word. You see, he is Lord over Satan. He is Lord in Tyre and Sidon. In other words, not just Israel. His power and authority is not limited. And as you read on in the New Testament, you see there is nowhere that Jesus is not Lord. He has global, worldwide authority. He is Lord of Pakistan and North Korea and US and China and the UK. He is Lord in your school or uni, in your workplace, and in your home. Now, it may not seem that way, because if you're at school, you may get a hard time because you go to church, or at work because you say you're a follower of Jesus, and as a result, they exclude you from their friendship group, or maybe they don't give you the promotion due to you. In some countries, they take away your property and they lock you up. On Wednesday, we were hearing from Open Doors, 260 million Christians suffering persecution for their faith in Jesus around the world. Is Jesus Lord? Well, yes, he has authority over the nations of the world, over every human. And the death and resurrection of Jesus proclaims this. And one day, every eye will see, every knee will bow before him as Lord. It's so important to hold on to this. For those suffering for their faith, for those suffering persecution or evil of any kind, Jesus will return and right every wrong. He is Lord of all, but secondly, he comes for all. He comes for all. If location where Jesus is tells us that he is Lord, the identity of this woman shows that he has come for all. And we're going to see that Jesus is rich in mercy. What a lesson that's going to be to the disciples and hopefully to us as well. Look again at Jesus' response and that of the disciples. Look how the disciples treat the woman. Send her away. She's being a nuisance. It says they urge Jesus. You don't want to be dealing with her. After all, she's a Canaanite. She's different. She's not one of us, she's a woman. And Jesus is silent in the face of such prejudice. Verse 24 seems to make the problem worse. He says his mission is to Israel, to the lost sheep. And then verse 26 seems to compound it by inferring that she's a dog. What's the dog doing here? Who can tell me what the dog is doing here? Maybe a younger person. Go on, Phoebe. Eating crumbs. Now, those are crumbs that have probably fallen for the tape from the... Who of you has a dog at home? Hands up. Yeah. Does every food ever drop on the floor?
Yes.
And does the dog eat it?
Yes.
Do you sometimes take a sausage off the table and feed the dog underneath when mum and dad are not looking? No, never. No, of course not. Well, to refer to this woman as a dog, but she picks up on that. She says, just as the dog is being fed, even from the crumbs, I want to be fed by you, Jesus. Now, is Jesus being prejudiced in what he's saying? Well, you have to zoom out from this story. Think back to Matthew 8. Jesus heals the Roman centurion's servant. He's paralyzed. He's suffering terribly. He is a Gentile. He's a non-Jew. Jesus heals him. Think of Jesus' birth. Who comes to see him? The wise men, the magi from the nations, from the east. They flock to Jesus. And that is because Jesus is the light of the nations. And as they came to him, so he goes to them. We read he deliberately withdrew to this Gentile region. So what's going on? Is he actually prejudiced? Or is he deliberately wanting to expose the ugliness of prejudice, drawing out the woman's faith by not responding to her, so that she keeps on crying and pleading so that we might see her great faith, so that we might see the ugliness of prejudice, so that we might see the richness of God's mercy? God's plan, you remember, was to bring salvation to his chosen people Israel. That's what Jesus was doing. But as time goes on, what do we see Israel doing? We see Israel rejecting, not receiving Jesus. And so the gospel goes to the Gentiles, and we read at the end of Matthew's gospel where Jesus says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. And we begin to see this here. We're going to see more next week. What a contrast she is to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that we thought about last week. Proud in their ritual cleanliness. And Jesus exposes their hypocrisy. He pulls away the mask to show that actually their hearts are evil and unclean. And here is this woman, this Gentile outsider, and we see humble faith. And her plea, well, her plea is very simple, isn't it? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. It's what Christian faith is all about. Coming to Jesus, recognizing that he is Lord of all, and that we are those in need of mercy, and recognizing that God alone is the one who can give us the mercy we need. So here in this woman, this one who appears so different, so other, so outsider, so unclean, we see Jesus. Despite all expectations, in the face of prejudice, he doesn't go away from her, he comes towards her, bringing her mercy. And this is true for anyone who comes to him, anyone who bows the knee and cries to him and depends on him and not themselves and asks for mercy. He welcomes them. There's no room for prejudice in the kingdom of God, because in Jesus there is not prejudice. He comes for all. And for us as his followers, that will make us think, where are our prejudices? If we look right, we want to point the finger at the prejudices of others. We can spot it. And when we see it, we don't like it. But what about you and me? If we'll look inside, we won't find clean hearts. We can't hold our hands up and say, no, not me. The truth is, I need Jesus to have mercy on me. And the wonder of the gospel is that no one is beyond the mercy of Jesus, not you and not me, if we will come as this woman did. Lord, have mercy on me. Well, let's be quiet for a moment as we just think about what we've been hearing about, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Lord, help me. Please help us to come to you in humble dependence upon your mercy. Please save us and all those whose sins you have forgiven through the death of Jesus. Help us to see the prejudices in our own hearts, and help us to look freshly at the world around us, at those we think are outside the reach of your mercy. Enable us to look on them and see they are never beyond your rich mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.